T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Our number two, Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Please clap.
Crawford's farewell edition. I think that's where the please clap goes.
Please clap.
There we go. Jeb.
I'm not a pervert.
We will be touching on a lot of subjects today that Crawford has built our show, if you're just listening and just tuning in. So bear with us today as it is the last day before he moves on to make his first feature film. Is that what it is?
Well,
that the proper way?
Because
the Giant Killers documentary was feature length documentary.
Yeah. It's just, because people say, oh, another documentary. I say, well, no, like a movie.
Yeah, you're making a movie.
So what does it mean when you say a feature film?
That's like the length. That's like you got to have a short film. You have like a feature length film. Like
so is that a minimum hour and a half? Or what are the 90 minutes? Or what are we saying?
I think it's over 40-something. 40-something okay. minutes right. is a feature length film. I just say that because that makes it, I guess, easy. But it's a film. It has a script and actors. It's not a documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's exciting.
Yeah. Check it out on social media. On Facebook, Old Newport. On Instagram, @ Old Newport Movie.
Can you have some Tommy guns?
I think so.
Can we be in the movie?
I hope so.
That's BS. No, that's
well, right. I mean,
can we be in the movie?
I don't need to be the hopes up.
You got to come down and to Southern California.
That's fine.
Okay. All right, fine. Yes. Fine. Hey, at the very least.
Dude, I just got us in a movie. You're welcome.
That could be an extra?
Yeah, at the very least.
I want to be a bartender.
That could be a big role, Dusty. That could be some big
that
lines.
That is a big role. That's
a big
you're asking
role.
For, come on, you're asking for lead roles out
I want to be
gate?
The show host.
No, I don't want to. Well, I'm letting you do it today, basically.
Yeah, I
just want to be one of the gangster buddies that are on the side, of the kind of like the guy that leads the group on the way in.
Yeah.
Everybody picks a fight with, and he gets his butt kicked first.
There's actually some badass stories I didn't even know about, but researching the film, there's a guy, Tony Cornero, who ended up becoming one of the founding fathers of Vegas, but he got his start smuggling alcohol in through Newport Harbor. And he used to have, before he started Vegas, he used to have boats offshore, boat casinos.
That's what I'm talking
in the ocean.
That's a great
and he
idea.
Would ferry people out there.
Yeah.
And they would gamble.
Well, just make me like a dealer then on him, mm-hmm. one of his blackjack.
International waters.
Poker boats.
Wouldn't that be, why is that not, I mean, there's probably laws against it, but why is that not more of a thing?
It is in Louisiana. Anytime you put a boat on the water, that's what they have, casino boats.
Riverboat casino boats.
That's what they have.
So that's a real thing.
Yes, it is.
All right, I need
They're
to go.
Literally floating in the water.
Literally. Literally. Okay. So thank you for my role. I'll be waiting. You can just pay me on royalties. I don't even need like a check. Just
now we're
royalties.
Talking. Now that's money to my ears. Or
I don't need
music
money
to my ears.
But I want like that 10-cent check every couple of years to remind myself I was in your movie.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
Royalties.
Still getting those royalties.
Yeah.
Can you eat my big break?
As this texture says, I'm not afraid to do a nude scene in your movie either. Like if you need, I'll do it. I'm not afraid. So
yeah. We'll be the decision makers on that, buddy.
All right. Well, hey, I'm just saying. Oh,
offering up nudes.
No, he's offering to be a nude bartender.
I'm just saying.
Wait till I break
into
the
it.
Adult film.
No, not doing that. Not going down that road. And Cam thinks that's 2 months. I give you at least 2 years.
It's all right. I was propositioned by someone here in the building to help make a home movie.
All right, let's get to Crawford's favorite teams. The future bets. You want the future bets on your adopted team, the Blazers and the Clippers,
yeah,
and talking about their future?
Because I always, you know me, I'm a big Clippers fan, and I'm always bringing up the Clippers, and being here in the Portland market, especially like on Twitter when we discuss it, it always comes with a comparison to the Blazers. It always ends up being, when I say something about the Clippers, Blazers fans say, well, this or like this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even yesterday, Sprague was giving me a hard time because I was saying, looks like we got another sixth man of the year in Lou Williams, who's been balling out, by the way.
He dropped 50 the other night.
He dropped 50 the other night at 20. He's averaging like 23 points a game off the bench. And I said,
the Blazers would love that.
I love
it. Yeah.
So I was tweeted never about happened. Him, and then Sprague said, "Well, when you don't have any championships, the best you'll get is Sixth Man of the Year." And I kind of, I immediately went, "Well, what do the Blazers have? It's not like they're not a title contender either." Yeah. So my kind of big question was, "What? The Clippers aren't a title contender. The Blazers aren't a title contender. But I enjoy watching the Clippers. They bring me entertainment." They're fighting for an 8 seed right now. The Blazers are kind of in the same point. What do we expect out of their teams? What are we looking for them to do over the next couple seasons where the odds are stacked against any team not named Golden State or Cleveland?
Well, Boston.
In Boston. Boston now. Boston's and maybe really Houston. Well. But that's about it.
But we still don't really know what Houston will be when healthy because we haven't really seen them. But with the Clippers, I mean, there is a comparison between these two teams because of the fact that basically what you're looking at right now is two franchises that are stuck in the middle. They're, especially after Chris Paul left the Clippers and they tried to replace him with Patrick Beverley and Milos Teodosic, you're looking at two franchises that are stuck in the middle but in different ways because the top-end talent that you have that potentially in L.A. with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and a deeper bench is that you can sit there and you could say, if they ever stay healthy and put it together, yeah, but oft-injured Blake Griffin, is there anybody putting their full weight behind him? I don't know. And then how old is Milos? Isn't he like 30?
He's 30. He's 30.
He's 30. I mean, if your rookie guard is 30.
If we want to just talk Clippers, what they did, which has been criticized by a lot of people, is they had to get rid of, you know, Chris Paul. That was going to happen. And they invested in off-injured players. And right now it's backfiring. But if you look at the Western Conference standings from Portland at the 5 seed, down to the Clippers in the 9 seed right now, everybody's within 2 games of each other. It's a total logjam.
And that's why they're kind of right. They're in the similar spot where, and both don't really have much room to make any moves because Portland is stuck in this spot where, what are you going to do to improve your roster? Because they're stuck in a place where they got a lot of people locked up in long-term contracts right now. Mm-hmm. And they're in that basketball purgatory as well, where they're not going to make that separation anytime and very easily.
I think these two franchises are very similar, but can I be blatantly honest? I think if you're looking at which franchise maybe he's got a better shot for the future, it pains me to say it's the Clippers. They're going to get their old they're going to separate from the Lakers, get their new arena. They're in LA. Their owner is okay. I'm not going to say that Paul Allen's not all in, but come on, you're competing with a way different dude, man. That's going to be willing to do whatever it takes. In fact,
he
did whatever it took to get the new general manager in there to invest in the future. How do I say this? You look at it as which city or which area is going to be conducive to building a championship? Where are you going to get a free agent
LA.
To go?
Well,
and
LA,
that's kind of how I have to, you have to be realistic. The only way the Blazers are going to get there is if they get something through the draft or if they find a way to make it an unbelievable trade.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. If you look at moving forward, how much money both these teams are committed towards the salary cap. For the Clippers, it's like $116 million this year. The Blazers are at $117 million. Next year, the Blazers are at $144 million. And the Clippers are at $128 million. And then that's when the Clippers jump up in 2019. $145 million, and the Blazers start coming back down to $117 million. Like, it is eerily similar, the kind of the contract lengths and how much paying guys that are you don't know if we'll get you over the top, so you need to get one more piece, but that's so much easier said than done in the NBA, and the Clippers have the easiest way to go about it just by being in LA.
Now, I don't want to – this is not me having some kind of defeatist, well, we're just happy to be their attitude, but as a fan – and this is me speaking as a Clippers fan, and I'm curious if Blazers fans feel the same way. I am happy to be in the fight right now and to be relevant. I know on this show we've talked about some fans think the Blazers should tank and try to get a top draft pick, and we've all agreed that that's not the way to go. And, Cam, I know you have said specifically, wouldn't you rather be fighting for that 8 seed than going through a couple years at the bottom? It's just, as a fan, it is more fun. Other fans have said, oh, then you're mired in mediocrity. I personally, right now, the Clippers are at the 9 seed. I've dealt with a lot of very bad, crappy seasons. I'm okay, man. I'm happy to be there in the fight. I want to get a championship for sure. That's the end goal, but I'm happy to be there in the fight. I know that might be defeatist, but I don't want to tank. I don't want to end up right now like the Kings or the Lakers or the Mavericks or the Suns, who have been bad for several years. So I'm happy to be there, man. I don't know, do Blazers fans feel the same way? 55305 is the text line. I don't think Blazers fans do.
And you said there's two games between 5 and 9.
Yeah.
Out west. Like, it's not, your margin in that gap just isn't that far.
Players don't tank, fans tank. General managers, whoever, front office people tank. You guys have, I love, you want to be with that? Yeah. Be the fan that wants to tank, be the general manager. You do what you need to do. But from a fan's perspective that enjoys sports to the core, I always want to be in the fight.
The only way that the Blazers would tank is if they shut Damian Lillard down for the entire season.
And traded away CJ and got rid of everybody. Mm. Just to dump contracts. Contract dumping. Yeah. The players don't tank.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to side with fan fanaticals and general manager people that want to do their own agendas.
But, okay, so here's a question. Portland, I mean, like Memphis, has just turned into a dumpster fire this year. Mm-hmm. They have the second worst record in the Western Conference at 13-27. Right, that is kind of a team that is comparable to Portland. And they are tearing that thing down. And essentially, this is a tank job that they have going on in Memphis right now. Do you think Memphis will be able to turn it around quicker and get into being a top four team out west, or Portland? Portland is fifth right now. But are you saying that you will ever be able to catch the Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, and T-Wolves faster than Memphis?
Have you
Memphis
been to
will?
Memphis? Memphis is not even close to Portland.
Well, no, I'm talking about market size, ability to attract.
Portland
free
is better. Portland but is better than Memphis. And that's why I say that I think Portland has an upper hand when it comes to Memphis. I think it's a way better franchise.
I also think that Memphis is aging. Like, their star is Marcus Gasol, who's old. Portland, man.
Well, that's the whole thing. I'm talking about here is where Portland is going in. Memphis is tearing it down right now, knowing what the mortality of Marc Gasol. Will they be able to tank and get back up into being in that competitive nature for a top four seed, or will Portland get there faster, even though they're fifth right now, but will they close that gap?
It's a good question. Nobody knows that.
I'll bet on the star power of Dame and CJ, or maybe they trade CJ and get something, but I love Damian Lillard. As this is my last day on the Portland airwaves, I think Dame is. People ask me who my favorite Blazer is, and I know it's cliche, but I love Dame, man.
Me too.
He's probably my favorite point guard in the NBA. Dame is so awesome. He's a great leader. He does a lot off the court. He does a lot on the court. He fights every game. I love him talking trash to Chris Paul after the game.
Yep.
And I think that if you have that, you're ahead of a team that doesn't have that.
Oh my gosh, this guy! And this has got to be an LA number. I would bet the Lakers go to the Western Conference Finals before the Clips or the Blazers.
That's Lakers fans mentality.
Yeah.
Cause I've said
they're
that
14 and 27.
I've said that happy to be there thing where I'm like, at least I'm watching entertaining basketball every night. And then the Lakers fans just say, well, we'll screw it. We'll suck for 10 years, but we'll get more title, but we'll build for titles.
Future Laker.
I'm like, well, that's great that the Lakers have won these titles and are a storied franchise. They suck now and they might suck for the foreseeable future. So I'll take entertaining basketball.
Sure. Damn. All right, what's coming up next?
Oh, yeah. All right, coming up next.
You're running the show today, dude.
Sorry, I forgot. Still, old habits die hard. All right, we talked about the Clippers. Let's talk about my other team, a little bit more locally relevant, the Beavers. How did the odds stack up Oregon State compared to the Ducks over the next 3 years? What should Beaver fans' expectations be, realistically? Talking about championships, can the Beavs ever get one, or what should they aim for? You're listening to Dusty and Cam. Beaver Talk when we come back on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
All right. We talked about his favorite team, the Clippers and the Blazers. Now it's time. Your alma mater, the Beavs. You made a Giant Killers documentary about this program, Crawford. And
I love Oregon State.
You do.
I want to be the Matthew McConaughey of Corvallis.
All right, all right, all right.
You know how he gets to go to Texas games, give pump-up talks to the team?
Let me say this. Let me jump in here. When you make it big, okay, when you make it big, and we're going to have Crawford be he's going to be the biggest producer. He's going to come back, and I want you to make sure that you buy a suite in Reser Stadium, and you stand there, and you have a nice little cantilevered that you can stand. And make sure that you turn into that, because you have to commit to it now. I want you to do it now.
I think I am.
You will be able to overlook everybody, and wave down to your minions holding your craft beer and making sure you own that space, because I believe that's what we're going to see. I'm going to give it a T minus 2026.
I like that. Wow, that sounds realistic. Years?
Yeah.
That sounds realistic. That sounds realistic.
Well, 8 years till that. The buy-in that it takes to get McConaughey status in Corvallis is a little bit a lower tier than it takes to get it in Austin.
No, Corvallis short like that.
No, I'm just saying Austin, you know, Longhorn football and maybe the type of people they're bringing to games is just not exactly the same as Beaver football. But I guess that was kind of maybe the question or the motivation for this topic was what are realistic expectations for Beaver football? Because the Beavs totally sucked this year. In a year when fans were not only hoping for but expecting a bowl, the Beavers
9 wins.
I somewhat jokingly said 9, but the core of that was that I definitely like
we all expected a bowl though.
We all expected a bowl game, and yeah, I was like,
all of us did. Yeah.
Oh, well, could they get 9 wins? You know, kind of like could they maybe
if things go the right way? Well. They didn't.
No, every single thing went wrong, including the coach quitting.
Midway through the season.
Yeah.
I think Oregon State, under Gary Anderson, and it does highlight how impressive a job Mike Riley did there, and it takes kind of a special person to win in Corvallis. And I think that Jonathan Smith is that guy who's a special person. But Gary Anderson set that program back. And I would say that you are probably a full recruiting cycle away from being a...
And tell everybody what a full recruiting cycle is.
4 years.
Yeah. So that's you were trying to do it in a nice way when you say recruiting cycles. It's like, oh, is that 1 year? No. That's four.
This isn't one of those, as Brock Heward said, retools.
No.
This is a rebuild from bottom to top. And it's gonna be tough because if you were to look at it and you say those teams that can turn around more quickly, they have some hope, and you can look at the offensive or defensive line and say, this is where, you know, they're just a guy or two away. With Oregon State, you're a lot of guys away from being a very competitive team in the Pac-12. It's going to take some time, but I think if you're looking at the future, if Jonathan Smith can stick with it in the Beaver fan base cam, I think that can be a team where I thought his view on what Oregon State is what I think every school outside of USC should be, which is, hey, this conference is cyclical. The expectation should be we win a lot of games here, but every year, why not us to every so often, why can't we pop and have a good run? And I think that's what they will be. It'll be a lot like Mike Riley's Oregon State, but hopefully a little less crash after, you know, those great years and those great runs.
Croft, what do you want to see from the Beavers in the next few years? What is, maybe let's be realistic with Jonathan Smith and this group for football. What do you want to see from them?
I mean, I want to see...
I know that's a broad question,
No. I like that because I want to... Okay, I think in the next 2 years, I think between now and maybe 2020, the realistic expectations for the Bee fans, or maybe the highest expectation for a Bee fan, should be something maybe like what Cal did this year, where they unexpectedly popped. Probably not this season. I mean, we know the Beavs are really set back, especially recruiting-wise, but maybe in 2 years, you know, we get an unexpected, you know, the team... has more cohesion than they had under Coach Anderson, and all the stories of his staff being, you know, butting heads and not being on the same page, and recruiting people, bringing in guys that Coach Anderson hadn't signed off on, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I guess realistically, short term, it's to kind of pop unexpectedly and to get a little, because the Beavs this year, what's the opposite of popping? Implode. They unexpectedly imploded. Yeah. I think that the realistic expectation for the next 2 years is to do what Cal did this last season under Justin Wilcox. I think long term under Coach Smith, as a Beaver fan, I would be happy with getting back to the Mike Riley era of, you know, what, like 6-6, 8-4, 7-5. You know, just
see, but you're saying, okay, which I value is you're putting it in on a win total. I'm trying to figure out, do you want your program to be, is there a dynamic you want to see from Oregon State? You say the Mike Riley era, the Mike Riley era is back. He's on the staff.
Exactly.
He's got to bring his attitude to it. I don't know what kind of offense they're going to run. Is there something unique you want to see about Oregon State that sets it apart from everybody? I know I'm not talking about offensive spread. Is there a dynamic of Oregon State that they can set themselves as an identity for everybody to say, why not us? Why can't we show up there and play for Oregon State?
The best, and I think what Mike Riley kind of built that on, that Mike Riley culture and tenure, was it's blue collar, doing it with guys that aren't going to be 4- and 5-star guys. We're not going to have the Ferraris. I hope what Jonathan Smith does is what I think a lot Mike Riley failed to do, which was Mike Riley went to that extreme of, we're going to get those guys with a chip on our shoulder. We're going to trust our talent evaluation. We're going to go with that. And they didn't even offer 4- and 5-star kids. Like, they just didn't offer them. I mean, and I think that's what's going to change under Jonathan Smith, is like, why shouldn't this guy be here? Hell yeah, we're going to go after him, and we're going to try and get these guys any way we can. See Isaiah Crocker, who's going to be on campus this weekend.
When the Beavers won the Fiesta Bowl, I know after the game, TJ Houshmandzadeh said, this is a place that could be built up to do this regularly in 30 years. Mm-hmm. He said, why not us? Why not Corvallis? And I think that, just to agree with you, Dusty, that should be the mentality. Don't have that small, like, you know, I'm saying, I want to get back to the Mike Riley era. Maybe that sounds a little bit small-time mentality, but if you took this run of 2005 to 2008, so 4 seasons, the Beavs went 5-6, 10-4, 9-4, 9-4. That, to me, if Oregon State was in a cycle like that, where maybe they have a down year and then they're in upper level bowl games and then maybe they pop and get to a Fiesta Bowl, that would be so much better than what they have been in the last decade since then.
Fair question for Oregon State and for you and for both of you guys. That era of time when you saw those kind of wins, was it an era where the Pac-10/Pac-12 had the north side where teams weren't as loaded, but maybe the era shift? Because you kind of see how teams, very cyclical. You'll change. You'll go through bad sessions. You know, is that, does Oregon State, with now some of the teams with a new coach in Oregon, two stalwart coaches up in Washington, they've been there a while, okay, up in the state of Washington, can Oregon State set themselves apart and catch up with some of these teams? I mean, you still have David Shaw. You have Justin Wilcox, who's now trending up. Is there a little bit of fear, or how are you going to set yourself apart?
I think there was something to that, and that is a very fair question, is that in 2006, they went, 10-4 that year?
Washington,
and that
was, they played 14 games.
Oregon State beat,
good football team.
They beat USC. Mm-hmm. I think their losses were to that Cal team that worked its way up the polls.
Marshawn Lynch, right?
Yeah. In 2006? Wasn't maybe. It? I don't know.
No, maybe not. Sorry.
And then they lost to Boise State. And, I mean, those are like quality losses that you're sitting there, you're looking at going, okay, like, I can understand that. But that, yeah, it was Marshawn Lynch. I just brought that game up. Yeah, Marshawn Lynch rushed for 106 yards in that game. But you sit there and you look at that and you go, that was when USC was humming. That's when USC was good. And you were still able to pull that off, because that was the Moore Canfield year, Evanson Bernard, Sammy Strotter. Right. You know, you can have good teams.
But that was a USC run, but we're talking just battling in the North. But side, yeah, no, just your division side.
And I sit there and I say, if you can have a 10-4 season in that pack, mm-hmm. Pac-10 back then,
okay,
when USC was humming, Cal was good with Marshawn Lynch in that backfield, Deshaun Jackson was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you can get to a point where you are competitive and compete, not every year, but have those years like 2006 where you pop and you are.
Have a baseline, right? At least a bowl game, and then you pop and you go either to an upper level or maybe a New Year's Six. I think that's the goal. And I think, just to answer your previous question, Cam, of what do you want that would make Oregon State different, and not talking about necessarily like an offensive thing, I think it's that, and this is why I'm glad that they hired Jonathan Smith. I think it's that honing in on the uniqueness of Corvallis and the school. So often I see at Oregon State within the athletic department, especially when I was there, was trying to keep up with the Joneses down mm-hmm. south in Eugene, mm-hmm. trying to be like the yes. Ducks too much.
Yeah.
Don't set yourself apart. Corvallis is awesome for its own reasons. Oregon State, while they are behind in facilities, it's a unique place. Own that and use that, as you brought up, Dusty, as Mike Riley would bring in those lower level guys, those chip on their shoulder guys, make that whole thing part of your brand, still get some own Corvallis, and Jonathan Smith gets that, and that's why I'm happy they hired him.
And there's somebody has to be a doormat too, you know? Somebody has to be a doormat. Every single year, every single cycle of a conference, there is a doormat. That is undeniable. Back in those early 2000s, I'm looking at the standings from 2006, Stanford and Washington were the doormats.
Oh, yeah.
They were the two worst teams. There were eight teams in the conference that were 6-6 or better, 6-6 or better. So there were eight bowl eligible teams in the Pac-10 that year, not 12. And Washington went 5-7, and Stanford went 1-11. Okay. There has to be that, and that is kind of what the beauty of that Mike Riley era that Beaver fans hated was that you were never the doormat. You weren't the door, and that is what you cannot be, is stuck in a doormat. And as long as you're there, you can have those, we're going to pop every so often years.
Which I think is great. A Beaver fan would give anything to pop. It's been since my senior year in Corvallis that the Beavs popped.
And that's the problem, is that they're the doormat now.
Exactly. And this, just to sum this up, to bring up that Beaver fan that wasn't stoked on the Mike Riley era, he said, mediocrity is all Mike Riley brought to the Beavers. Shucks, I hope we just win a few. As a Beaver fan, I hope we just win a few, man. We won one game, and it was against the worst team in the Big Sky. Mm-hmm. So improvement is on the horizon. Let's talk about sports heroes or anti-heroes. I want to know, why do we love some athletes? Why do we hate others? Why does LeBron James, the greatest basketball player on planet Earth, maybe ever, still have haters? I'm curious what you guys think. I'll let you know my opinion. But first, here's me with a SportsCenter update.
Hello?
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Hey, do you listen to this at the park when you're shooting hoops, Croft?
I played this with Cam in mind because I know that he often...
Wishes
I know
he was
like
taller.
This song.
He wanted to be 7 feet tall.
No,
hey,
I just,
give me 3 more inches and I would have been... What?
Well, I just...
I would have been playing in the NBA.
I just know that Cam's a high
Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump of basketball? NBA.
I was this close. This close.
Cam is a height elitist. He likes to point out my height.
Yeah. I do not.
A heightist.
When have I ever pointed out your height?
When you had your son, who's 12, challenge him to a game of one-on-one.
No, I didn't.
I beat your son.
Huh?
I beat your son. In hoops.
Yeah,
one-on-one.
You totally knocked him out.
Thank you for letting that go out on the Portland Airways.
Wait, what? You knocked him out?
I didn't knock.
What you just said?
No, I didn't actually physically knock him out.
No, you elbowed him right in the head.
No.
You?
I did not elbow him in the head.
That was his brother that knocked him out.
He got pump
Royce
faked.
Royce knocked out Trainer.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wasn't it me and Royce against you, Trainer,
and Dulcie.
And Dulcie, yes. Your daughter?
Yeah, right.
And I just remember we were up a couple points, and then you said, give me the ball.
Yeah, and it was
over.
And
you posted me up.
Yeah. Rock. Down low. But your son, the reason why they played one-on-one is because your son is the same height as...
No, not really. Robert. No, he's definitely...
Bigger?
Heavier.
He's heavier, and he will be taller.
Yeah, probably.
Dude, he'll be taller than me.
Yeah, probably. But he held his own. Crawford did held his own. He was not afraid to get down and dirty and get a little physical.
All right.
I'll rough up an eighth grader, dude.
Mm-hmm. He was sixth grader at the time.
Oh. That's a big sixth grader.
Big bragging point.
That's a big sixth grader.
Very big sixth grader.
You sure that kid's not in eighth grade?
Yeah, pretty sure.
No, it was summer, so he was going into seventh grade.
That's what I'm saying. Sixth grader at the time. You're not a seventh grader until you start seventh grade.
Let's not argue semantics on how old the kid
anywho.
Was. Anyway, I beat him.
I'm not a height elitist.
Now, hold on. Crawford finds it worthy to brag about beating a seventh grader, but when it's a sixth grader, then he's gone too far in his bragging about beating him. That's what I'm going to miss about you.
I just know that I know that the Clelands are breeding elite athletes.
No, sure. We're not. We're into education.
Athletics
are just an addition into what we do.
Your wife played 2 Division I sports, and you played 2 Division I sports and professionally.
Yeah, sports are just an add-on to what we want to do as people.
All right, so when Cam's kid says he wants to become a gamer... An esports pro.
I have one in the house.
I didn't know we were in the triggering Cam segment yet.
Not yet. We need to stay on track here.
Okay. I'm triggered.
Stay on track, Dustin.
Come on, show host.
Oh, I forgot. I'm hosting today, I guess, sort of. No, my question was, like, why do we hate some athletes and why do we love others? Because LeBron, I want to play this quote from Blake Bortles. We played it yesterday, but I do like it. So I'll start off with this. Blake Bortles, who has a lot of haters. He rushed for more yards than he threw in the Jags win over the Bills. But he is an NFL quarterback in the playoffs. Here's what Bortles had to say.
How much more do you have to do to silence the haters?
Yeah, it'll probably never stop.
And there's people that think LeBron James sucks. So if that happens, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that always think I suck.
I love that. I love that out of Blake Bortles.
Like, why do we like some athletes? Why do we hate others? And how do we separate off the field issues from on the field performance? Because I think that we're at a time now where that is the hardest it's ever been to do.
Okay, like, you guys weren't, this isn't fair for me to answer. I want you two to tell me give me a criteria of things, if it's one or two things that trigger you, not just trigger you, but makes you dislike an athlete more than anything. A pro athlete. Let's go with pro, because I'll sit there and tell you, said, well, if you've never done it, then you need to shut up and turn around because you're not a pro. So it's just that you're jealous. That would be my immediate defensive former athlete answer, which is the defensive answer, which is, I get it.
If you and I are in a football argument, you could always drop the, well, did you play?
And yeah, and it wins an every time.
Because I didn't.
Boom, yeah, goes exactly. The dynamite. Anywho.
But so for me, it's interesting.
Well, you may not think it wins, but it wins every time.
What it does for me almost is kind of, it's the hype of others. From like Russell Westbrook drives me crazy. I am not a big Russell Westbrook fan, and I think part of it is because of almost the cult around him, the Russell Westbrook, the obsession, how so many people want to say how good he is, how he's the best player in the MVP or in the NBA. I know he just won the MVP. I personally think he's overrated. I don't think he'll ever win a title. I think he's too much of a me guy, and he doesn't have what it takes to win an NBA championship, but it's all the other people who want to argue for him, so that will turn me off to a player more than anything.
I agree with that. I also think that there's a lot of that goes around. Like LeBron James, when he came into the league, remember, he was beloved because Kobe was so good that's the guy that people wanted to rail against.
Yeah.
Then you get to the point where he is called so good by so many people that then you just automatically want to go against what the masses are saying because you want to have your own thought on who is great and who isn't. So then these guys get, I mean, the Blake Bortles one is fun. I think that's a great comment by him because people don't like Blake Bortles strictly for what he does on the field. Hmm. Like the people with like what LeBron James does is LeBron James. You can't hate what he does on the court because it's so good and it's so masterful. People don't like the fact that maybe he is a diva and maybe he got his coaches fired in Cleveland. He threw a fit because his entourage couldn't come on a plane in Miami. So that's why he left and that is falling out with Pat Riley. You know, people want to look at that. I don't know of anybody that thinks LeBron James sucks based on what he does on the floor. It's all about what it is off the floor.
But what is it for you?
Persona.
So the persona is what it is for you?
About a player. Yeah.
But narrow that one in because personas are definitely subjective.
Yeah, because they just don't. It's not who I like personally. But I'm not going to say he's not a good player because I don't like him personally. You know, you just find things to nitpick at. Like with Russell Westbrook and what Crawford is saying. I mean, the dude averaged a triple double last year. That has only been done one other time in the NBA.
Amazing.
You cannot sit there and say like Russell Westbrook is. Not a good NBA player, but does he make the players around him better? Is he a good teammate to people? From what James Harden and Kevin Durant, the two guys who split, not the best relationships that he had with people.
Okay,
And so you can say that's what you don't like about him as a player, and I think that can be fair.
Okay, is it based upon what they have, their opportunities, who they are, what they're doing, how they're carrying themselves publicly that makes you make that decision?
It's definitely
or more about their ability in their specific sport, their talent level, how they play the game, how they interact during the event, the activity, or is it more about off the court now?
It's certainly a combo, but off the court is a huge factor. For example, it would be Russell Westbrook, as I said before, annoys me, but I would be foolish to think that it didn't have something to do with the way, you know, he's very petty in his comments post-game and the him and Kevin Durant thing and just his whole vibe. And even though I like his style, even though I don't understand it always, you know, he shows up, he's very cocky. He shows up in his ridiculous outfits. So I'd be foolish to say that doesn't play a factor in my opinion
of him. Some people love him because of that too.
Exactly. No, and I know it. So I think it's a combo because also the way he plays, also. And then for me, what pushes it over the edge is that when I say that I think Russell Westbrook is overrated, there are these fanboys that come out of the woodwork. I'm talking about a lot of friends of mine who say, you're an idiot. You don't understand the NBA. Like, well, no. I mean, the fact is I'll put money on Russell Westbrook never winning a championship. So Cam, it's a combo for me. It's really hard to say, but now more than ever, off the court stuff affects our.
So that's kind of what I believe in today's world is off the court is the number one way we look at athletes or how we judge athletes, not with just their talent level. The, like one texter says, I started disliking Blake Bortles because of his hot wife.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's pure envy.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of what I, yeah.
There's some people that feel like that.
I think it's all built on jealousy and envy is how did that guy or that person get to that level and act like that? That's crap. I think I hear a lot of that from people and fans.
Well, because we're all individuals and we all want people to, the stars that are propped up to be good standing people. Like this texture says, Jordan got his coach fired, wasn't the best teammate, hated Horace Grant. I'll add on to that one that he knocked out a teammate during practice. If Michael Jordan lived in the social media age, better believe he'd be getting knocked down a peg because he did all those things. He did get Doug Collins fired.
We're in the social media stage and we're still trying to knock him down and he's done playing.
Yeah, no, totally.
Right. But Jordan became a machine of positive marketing and in an era that wanted to prop him up him good. And those stories didn't get out. Like we were talking about Babe Ruth earlier. Babe Ruth's a perfect example of that as well.
Sports used to be fun.
And I think people don't enjoy appreciating greatness. Colin Cowherd talks about that a lot. Yeah. I was at the barbershop last week and people were arguing about LeBron and someone brought up his finals losses early in his career. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, he's the greatest basketball player on earth for the last decade, probably ever. I believe he is ever. I think he's the best basketball player of all time.
Yeah, I do too.
For sure.
Yep.
And to hear people bring up his finals loss numbers, I'm like, dude, do you know how many times he's been to the finals? I saw yesterday on ESPN, they said KD, it's now KD's era in the NBA. Hell no, it's not. It's not KD's era. It's LeBron's era until he's dethroned as the best. I know he lost to the Warriors in the finals. It doesn't matter. LeBron's still the best. So I just don't get it. And I was curious what listeners thought.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a little bit of everything, though, with what you were saying, too. Mm-hmm. There is jealousy. It's on field. It's just not liking the person.
Let's trigger Cam.
Okay.
Let's get the bald ginger meathead as riled up as possible. Wow. Coming up next, things aggressive. That piss Cam off. Text us 55305.
That was a little mean, Crawford.
That was very aggressive.
I mean, I'm very upset. I'm honestly outraged.
You're listening to Dusty and Bald Ginger on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
All right. Crawford's final day. A weekend would you rather got a little bit more sad because Crawford has to do it now.
It wouldn't be my final day if one little thing didn't go wrong.
If somebody was late and forgot
someone
something.
Was late for something.
Oh, no.
No, exactly.
That's good.
Uh-huh. No, that is good.
You know what? This segment is about what triggers Cam. That may have been the number one thing.
Oh, it got me.
Is your reliability?
Oh yeah, that's beyond. That's like.
No, it sucks. It sucks.
That's almost like too real. This is gonna be a segment about yoga pants.
I had to talk Cam off many a ledge about you.
I know. I believe you had to talk Cam off of a ledge while holding my body to dump it off. Per se.
Figuratively.
Cam. Yeah.
No.
Nope.
I think you wanted to put on the gloves and
square up. No, man, come on. I'm nice. I really am. I talk a big game. It's just redheads. We're all like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a short fuse. Yeah, like dudes in like tapered leg pants. I know you're not a fan of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
No, what are your opinion on tapered leg pants?
No, it's not even fun to go there. I've already went off on that.
When I wear my jogger sweatpants.
It's not just jogger sweatpants. It's everything has turned into tight-fitting taper leg.
And for big guys,
everybody needs to look like Grimace now. It's like we need to accentuate our hip area. For some reason, we need to be wider in the hips. Hey,
skinny jeans, you need to see how this dude has great ankles.
I don't need to.
No, you don't.
No, I don't want form-fitting.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you don't.
That's enough.
It doesn't really fit you. Here. The other thing is when people on the text line.
Ooh, there's some good ones.
The Mariners continue to suck. And the Browns will make the playoffs before them. Do you think the Browns will make the playoffs before them?
That makes me more sad.
You'll get fired up over them.
You'll get sad.
Yeah.
What about when you get called a UW homer?
I'm triggered.
Well, I mean, went there. I mean, that's But realistically, I like to consider myself as I'm gonna call a spade a spade. When you have bad, you're bad. When you're good, you're good. I'm gonna subjectively look at athletics, especially when it comes to football. I'm always subjective when it comes to football. It's just I happened to be in Portland and I was a Husky.
What about Jake Browning being overrated? This was something that got it. Was,
Jake Browning is not as good as everybody thought he was going to be. He did not live up to some of the bills. He's got a lot of stuff. He's got a fight on his hands coming in the way freshmen play nowadays. He's got a fight on his hands coming into his senior year.
Well, but the thing about that defense is you did get triggered about that early in the year when people said he was over. He was the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year last year, and he was not getting the credit that he deserved as the Pac-12 Player of the Year.
I could admit it's a little bit of a whiff. I would like to see him get better, but that's I'm fair on that one now.
Yeah, I
can see it with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
I know what's wrong with it and what needs to improve.
Gosh.
And limitations, too. We all have limitations.
What about my opinion that boneless wings are better than bone-in?
No, that one's going to send me into a tizzy.
Tizzy.
We've already established that nuggets and fingers are not wings. And
but they're better, though.
No, they're not. And anybody that calls them that, there's a special place in hell for you.
Because
you don't deserve to be enjoying those. There's no such thing as boneless wings. That's processed meat that was clumped together with some breading. You want to be a real man? Grab a wing with a bone in it and eat it with one hand, both the drummy
and
the wing side. Because people that eat them with two hands, they're not skilled enough. All you need is one hand.
I'm confident enough.
You know why? As messy as you get with two hands, I can eat with just my left hand and still have the ability to drink a glass of water and not need a wipe the entire meal.
I like that.
One hand skill is all it takes.
I'm confident enough in my masculinity to know that I can eat a boneless wing with two hands, and I'm still a dude. I'm still a alpha. Ooh. You're a beta.
Wow. Well, he's alpha. You're a beta. You're just like a.
About the only thing you need two hands for, Crawford. Let me tell you right now.
Hey,
that's about the only thing you need two hands for.
It's National Kiss a Ginger Day on Twitter.
Is it really?
Is it really?
Not today, is it?
I don't know. I might want to plant these lips upon your bald dome.
I need to set up a booth like Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
That's my pie.
Yeah, your pie. Hey, that's my pie. It is Kiss a Ginger Day. January 12th. Who knew?
Who knew makeup a day?
Kiss. Well, there's a day for everything.
Tell your wife.
I need to put my wig on.
Mm. Where is the kiss a day for just like a brunette, like a brown haired dude?
Kiss a brunette. Yeah, like Dustin and I, we're brunettes.
You have black hair. Do you know what color your hair is?
Yeah, it's black. In the summer, it can get a like.
Your hair's black, dude.
Okay.
Your hair's black.
It is.
Yeah.
You're brunette.
I'm brownie.
Can't be bald.
No, he's ginger, though. We know this.
I think I should. Yeah, some of these are. I'm reading through
wings
some of these.
Wings have no meat?
Yeah, yes, they do. Yeah.
That texture, there is meat there. It's good meat. You know what the beauty about a wing is? Is that it's the perfect, because the sauce is what makes the wing. You know, like the sauce is what really drives the wing.
I disagree.
In every single, like if you have just like a, well, then why don't you just eat a chicken breast?
I do. No, a chicken
wing. It's not as good.
I make a smoked Traeger wing that just has a little bit of salt and pepper, but the smoke flavor from my Traeger creates the flavor, and it's fantastic, and it's got no sauce.
Okay, well,
take that one.
Dusty. Okay, the flavor of the wing is not.
Take that for
you
data.
Don't get that from like a chicken breast, you know, where it's all the way through, and every bite has that in it. That's what I'm saying. There we go.
I'm going to trigger both you guys right now.
Right now or in the next segment?
No, I'm going to trigger it right now.
Okay.
It's fair. It's triggered. What's the number one way a former sports person can send fanboys into tizzies?
Well, I mean, it's what we talked. It's what D'Angelo Williams did to those.
It's what you said earlier.
It's what it's because Dusty and I, our opinions will never be as good as yours about football because we didn't play the game.
Yes,
right.
I'm always right.
I mean, it does.
Got it. What? No, but can we be fair? Let's be fair in all of sports. When a former anybody. Says anybody to with a voice, a microphone, a television, anything. Uh-huh. When a former somebody comes up with the I played and you didn't card, like or I coached and you didn't card, what is that will send you into a tailspin of bitter and angry.
No,
because everybody in sports, doesn't matter if you played it or not, has an opinion and they feel like their opinion's right because they watched it on Saturday.
Right.
But when somebody that played and, and throw the I know more than you, it will send you into a tailspin of bitterness.
Now, wait a minute. Now, when you're talking about like X's and O's stuff, absolutely.
No, I'm
and
talking
like
everything.
On field stuff. See,
I'm elite. I'm elite and you're average.
Yeah, right.
I'm elite and you're out. There's good, there's bad, there's good, there's great, and then there's elite. I'm elite and you guys are in the
I will,
I'm
not I'll even give
you're
you
in the goodish.
I'll give you the ish. You absolutely believe that.
Well, if I didn't, I wouldn't be sitting here.
No, you do. That's you.
You do.
And I can't disagree because I am a fanboy when it comes to football.
Yeah.
The closest I got was, you know, playing catch at the park with my bros.
Right. And
but you have your opinion, which is good.
Yeah.
I like your opinions. I like Dusty's opinions. I think they're crap. And I think they're yours are crap, but they're still opinions.
I love it.
I'm triggered.
I'm triggered.
I told you, I get you.
The Weekend Would You Rather is next. Crawford lights it up. Dusty Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.